liberals are crying today. That's because an appeals ruling just said that President Trump doesn't have to pay over $400 million in bonds. We'll bring you the latest. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Florida this weekend. She was at the site of the Parkland mass shooting, using those families to push forward gun control. It was completely egregious. And we have two parents who are willing to speak out on how disgusting her behavior was. Taking a photo op this weekend in Parkland, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, was also in Parkland. FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin joins us to discuss. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope you all got to enjoy your weekends. We are back with another jam-packed week, of course, and we're so happy that you have decided to join us. So thank you for that. Now, as many of you know, if you're looking to catch up on all of the news that took place, you gotta head over to citizenfreepress.com. That's where Kane and all of his CFP staff are plugging away to make sure you guys stay informed with the best headlines and highlights from this weekend. So now let's jump over to CFP's website right now and see what they're all talking about. Now, first thing up, we have to talk about what happened today in court. Libs are crying, and it's because, well, President Donald Trump doesn't have to pay up over $400 million in bond for that ridiculous ruling in New York City. I believe it's roughly about $175 million he gets the post, but that's not what CFP is talking about right now. CFP wants you guys to know that President Trump made a boss move when the media asked him specifically, well, how are you going to post the money? Are you going to put, you know, you could put a real estate, you could put up any way to post your bond, pretty much. President Trump turned around and said he's paying cash. So for all those doubters in the mainstream media who said that he was broke, he's obviously not. And if you're an idiot, if you believe that you wouldn't push back on being told that you put up over $400 million in bond because, well, you don't have to. Any legal team would tell you just that and that you should challenge it, of course. So obviously the judge, the appeals just cut it down in half, thankfully. And well, the corporate media hacks aren't happy about that. But let's jump over to something else I thought was interesting. Now, tomorrow we're going to be discussing Congressman Michael Gallagher in great detail. So I'll just give you kind of an overview of all of that. But John Zdrosny will join us tomorrow and he's going to outline why it's so important to discuss this story because, well, he has some experience with Congressman Gallagher. And well, as many of you know, I do as well. And so we haven't shied away from the topic, but Gallagher, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, Gallagher announced that he's not running for re-election, but then on top of it, he announced that he's going to resign and he's not going to complete his term, which means that there is a thin margin right now for majority, well, for the Republicans to have the majority. And so, of course, now he's coming out here and he's stepping down and his date specifically, and that's the one we want to focus on, as to when he's officially going to be resigned and stepping down from Congress, is very specific. And it's specific mainly because of the simple fact that he's picking a day where they can't replace him. They have to wait until November to replace him. He could step down now and then they in Wisconsin could have an election and replace him. And because he's up, at least I think it's a 15-point district that he's up in, Republicans are up in at least, he could potentially step down and they could replace him. But he's waiting specifically for that deadline so they can't replace him and so that Republicans are down a seat. Now, many of you might know, he is also the chairman of the Select Committee on Chinese Communist Party. So again, folks, they are now replacing him with another congressman to repair that loss. But ultimately, folks, I got to remind you, Congressman Gallagher is the same individual who pushed forward that TikTok ban that I told you is going to be really, really bad for our country. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that not only did he push forward this horrific piece of legislation that has passed in the House, he is also resigning specifically after a blank date and they can't replace him. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, is really upset about it. And so she is looking to expel him sooner. And well, that's not all that's going on right now in the headlines. Let's jump back over to CFP. CFP actually just put up this really fascinating story. It has to do with a new poll that came out in New Harvard and Harris. Ultimately, 73% of voters are claiming are fine with the term illegal immigrants. Now, many of you know they hate using that word illegal in front of anything. In fact, they are strongly against it. And well, I don't think there's a reason for it, of course. I think that they're just trying to slowly drip into the minds of Americans that they are immigrants. So I don't use this term. I use illegal aliens, illegal migrants. Those terms, even illegal migrants, is pretty down the middle. And I probably shouldn't be using that anymore either. But again, folks, they are not just undocumented. They are not people seeking asylum. They are illegally invading our country. And well, I mean, at least they're trying to keep the term illegal in it. But again, folks, we need to stop softballing it. These people should not be in our country in the first place. They are invaders and they should be immediately removed. If they were looking to seek asylum, we have ports of entries where they could do so. And most of them do not have asylum claims. That's why they're overwhelming our court system so that they won't be able to appear in court for the next, what, 7-8 years? It is disgraceful. And so that's everything that you guys have to catch up with right now on CFP's website. I highly recommend you start off your day over at citizenfreepress.com. I wanted to alert all of our audience to something that I've been noticing. There are several fake accounts popping up and they're pretending to be me, but they're trying to get in contact with you, the viewers. And I wanted to make sure that you're all well aware that I would not ask you to reach out to me on Telegram. I don't have a Telegram, never have, never will. And I'm not going to reach out to you telling you to email me either. My email is available on my Twitter account. It's just BriannaMorello@protonmail.com. And that's the only way you'd ever have to contact me. Again, folks, I am watching as you guys leave comments and then these, which we could assume are either just spam bots or they're con artists, but they're trying to get access to your information because I'm looking out for you. I don't want to see anyone fall victim to this. Just know something. I would never reach out to you. I will never ask you to reach out to me on Telegram. I'll never ask you to follow me on Telegram. I'll never ask you to email me. Those are things I don't do. So if anyone reaches out to you, report it as spam because it's not me. And all you have to do if you really want to detect it is go through the spelling. They're usually adding an extra O, an extra L, things that you normally wouldn't notice, maybe a space. So again, folks, if anyone reaches out to you, if you leave a comment and asks you to reach out on Telegram or to email them, do not do it. It's not me. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. Well, it's official, folks. The FDA lied, and we know they lied, and all of these government agencies were complicit in pushing the lie, and they blocked you from getting life-saving medications. Now, I'm not overstating this, folks. We know all of this because of a lawsuit that's been playing out in court. As of last week, the courts actually ruled that the FDA has to remove posts like this. You probably remember this, right? Remember when the FDA was actually lying to the American people about ivermectin and they put this on their Twitter page, their official Twitter page? You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. Well, obviously, they were lying to you folks. Ivermectin has been used on human beings for decades. We know this because, well, somebody actually won a Nobel Peace Prize over it. So the FDA knowingly posted this as a lie and was forced by a court to delete it. So while the FDA was lying, sadly, Americans were dying. And anyone who's been paying attention to what's been going on around the country for the last couple of years knows it's likely they're going to try this again. They're going to try to block you from getting your hands on life-saving medications. So you have to be prepared, folks. And the best way to do so is with this prescription kit. It contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, plus a guide that tells you how to use everything. And well, you won't find anything like this in the stores or at pharmacies. Every American should have at least one of these kits right now in their homes. And ordering your kit is simple and it only takes 2 minutes to do. So you head over to twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna. And when you use promo code Brianna, that's BREANNA, they're going to give you $30 off plus free shipping. That's the exclusive you guys get for just listening to today's show. So again, that's with the code Brianna. And folks, I got to tell you, this kit alone is going to cost you less than a single doctor's visit. So again, guys, we're in an election year, so you have to be prepared. So head over to twc.health/Brianna and use promo code Brianna to secure up to $30 off plus free shipping. Again, folks, twc.health/Brianna, and you got to use promo code Brianna when you get there. You guys have to do this now. Do not wait because, well, we never know when they're planning their next pandemic. Last week, I told you about the murder of Nadia Vitale. She's the 52-year-old woman who was murdered inside of her New York City apartment. Now, the story was heartbreaking because Nadia's body was recovered inside of a duffel bag that was stuffed in her apartment closet. And according to the autopsy, she had multiple fractures and multiple broken ribs. Her own son was the person who discovered her body. And, well, while the suspects in this case, or the people of interest is how the NYPD is phrasing it, of course, were on the run, they actually fled her apartment, stole her car, and drove all the way to Pennsylvania. Now, these two suspects that are on your screen right now are the ones who are under arrest, but not for the murder, because the NYPD says they have not charged them with murder yet. As of right now, they are under arrest for stealing her car, that car that was later crashed in Pennsylvania. Now, for days, I've been asking the NYPD very specific questions. I asked them, number one, to verify these mugshots. Now, the reason why that's so critical is the NYPD has a habit of not releasing mugshots or photos or videos of suspects. And the reason why that's something that sparked my interest, well, these two were on the run. They were the individuals seen inside her apartment. They're accused of squatting in Nadia's apartment as well. The apartment was actually owned previously by Nadia's grandmother, who has since been deceased. And so she took it over. And so these two individuals are accused of squatting in her apartment. Now, again, folks, this is really important because the NYPD openly admitted while these two were on the run that they had surveillance footage that showed them leaving Nadia's apartment when they believed that she was already dead inside of her apartment. So that's why it's so important. Why didn't the NYPD release their images? Why did they conceal their names? Why did they conceal all of this information? Well, the NYPD won't tell me why. The NYPD actually got extremely defensive when I asked them to verify these mugshots because, well, they didn't want to. They told me they do not release mugshots. They also insisted on telling me that they will not tell me whether they are legally living in the United States or if they are U.S. citizens. They wouldn't give me any information. And even when they were on the run, they hid their identities. So, again, folks, when you leave and you leave New York City, you head to Pennsylvania, you pass multiple toll booths. So according to my sources, they would have, and they did have photos of these two, but they didn't release it to the public. Now, obviously, this is a massive, massive issue for those who are in the public right now. I mean, you're literally walking amongst people who may have allegedly murdered a woman and stuffed her body in a duffel bag. So again, folks, why is the NYPD so persistent on not giving any information about these suspects? Well, again, the NYPD does cover-ups when the suspects are minorities. We know this because under Bill de Blasio, he specifically ruled out releasing mugshots when suspects are under arrest. And they did so because, well, they didn't want you to stereotype. And that's exactly what the mayor did. So they blocked this from coming out. Again, these two put Americans at risk. And for some reason, the NYPD wouldn't release any information in regards to them. Now, I've reached out to ICE, U.S. Marshals who made the arrest in Pennsylvania, and the NYPD again asking for their immigration status because people are deeply, deeply concerned. And it's based off their own cover-up. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been suspicious at all. And well, ICE tells me that they have no record of these two so far, but that doesn't mean anything, guys, because the NYPD, as we've learned before, doesn't work with ICE in regards to holding people who are arrested under arrest when ICE needs them, when illegals are detained. They will not hold them for ICE. They won't alert ICE. They will just release them back on the streets. And so again, folks, this is nothing alarming when you are, you know, well, this is alarming when you are the NYPD, of course, but there's no alarming process with the New York City, the New York City mayor, the NYPD. None of them are worried at all. And again, folks, I've even reached out to the mayor and I asked him why they didn't release these images. And well, of course, he didn't get back to us. But I want to remind everyone that we're going to continue to follow the story because, well, we have more questions than answers. And well, whenever that's the case, I always get to the bottom of it. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Parkland this weekend. And well, it wasn't really a warm welcoming for so many, but she was here to sadly announce it's red flag laws, no matter how you look at it. She's looking to push forward a red flag center. And she used the Parkland site of the shooting to launch just that. That was the announcement she made. And sadly, so many of these Parkland parents were used as the backdrop for this announcement. And Kamala really wasn't holding back. She announced also on Twitter that they have allocated over $750 million to pushing forward this federal red flag center. She says that it's meant to prevent mass shootings from happening in the future. But if you know anything about the shooting that took place that day in Parkland, there were so many ways that the government could have prevented this from taking place, and they failed. But if you just look, the DOJ is also not backing down. They're calling this the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. It's a mouthful, of course. But again, folks, don't be fooled by these fluffy little names. It is a way to have red flags, even in states where they don't. So she says it's going to prepare local officials so that they know how to use resources in advance. But we all know what's going to take place. It's actually just going to be used to target Americans and their Second Amendment rights. But don't listen to me. Let's take a listen to how Kamala phrased it, of course.
Red flag laws. Red flag laws are simply designed to allow communities a vehicle through which they can share and have somewhere to share it information about the concern about the potential danger or the crying out for help of an individual, and then let's give it to them before a tragedy occurs.
Now, that sounds like a great plan, but the reality is the federal government and local officials failed Parkland. They were given multiple tips and they did not investigate them. And well, Christopher Wray was actually there on Friday. And the interesting part in all of this is the FBI, they faced multiple lawsuits and they were forced to settle for over $127 million. But throughout those lawsuits, they admitted that there was two tips that did fall into their lap and they just did not investigate them. They didn't forward it to local law enforcement agencies as well. And so this is deeply concerning. Why is Kamala Harris and Christopher Wray using the Parkland shooting to advance red flag centers? It's deeply, deeply concerning. It has many people outraged, but nobody's more outraged than the parents, of course. Let's bring in Ryan Petty and Andrew Pollack, both parents of Parkland victims. Ryan, you are the father of Elena Petty, and Andrew, you are the father of Meadow Pollack. And it's just a horrific situation, and we are so sorry for both of your losses, of course. But I'm even more sorry for you guys because of what you guys have had to deal with. They are using, sadly, the deaths of your daughters to advance their political agenda regarding gun control. Andrew, I'll let you speak out first on this issue. What was your kind of just your reaction to watching Kamala Harris speak at the site of your daughter's, where your daughter went to school, where she sadly lost her life, and using it to push forward gun control?
Well, what's so obvious is that, you know, they've been in the administration, Biden and Kamala have been there for 3 years. Why now do they all of a sudden want to address anything to do with Parkland? It's pretty obvious that it's an election, you know, that they're going to lose, hopefully. We all know they're going to cheat. But now they're coming out and going to Parkland. Where were they for the 3 years prior, you know, to do anything? So it's really just a photo op, and it's an election year to get in the news. I feel really bad for the parents that went and had to sit through her walking through the school. And you could see the only thing she took from that whole trip was to push her gun control agenda. She didn't look that, you know, that that my friend Ryan sat on a commission, still sits on a commission for, it's got to be going on like how many years now, Ryan? 6 years it's close to now, right?
Almost 6 years.
6 years Ryan has sat on a commission that was put together by then Governor Scott. It was called the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Safety Commission. And Ryan sat through it, where they dissected every failure to the shooting and made recommendations into how to make our children safer. So she's not concerned about saving our children or making schools safer. She's just looking to push her gun control agenda and not address the failures that really happened in Parkland. And there were numerous, you know, he could have been arrested numerous times, the shooter, where he wouldn't have been able to pass a background check. But there were Democratic policies put in place in Broward that created an unsafe environment and why he was never arrested. You know, there behind every failure in Broward was a Democratic leader. You had the sheriff was a Democrat. He was removed for all his failures. You had a superintendent who brought these policies to Broward. He was arrested and removed. The lawyer for the school district was a Democrat. She was arrested. Four school board members, all Democrats, they were all removed. So she doesn't address any of those failures that happened in Broward, but she wants to pull, she wants to push her gun control agenda and not address any of the real failures in Parkland. So moving forward, she doesn't accomplish anything by making our schools safer by just pushing her gun control agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, there were several failures. And I know a lot of these Parkland parents went to this because they were hopeful there would be some positive change to come from it, because they were more focused on, Ryan, things that you've been focused on, like focusing on public school safety issues and simple fixes that could be used to make everyone safe. What was your reaction when you heard that she was heading down to Parkland? And I mean, I know you referred to it as a photo op, and it broke my heart when you did, because that's what I thought. I just didn't want to say it out loud, but that's ultimately what so many Americans thought this really was.
Well, I predicted that she was there to announce new gun control. I didn't know what she was going to announce, but I assumed it had something to do with gun control, because for the Biden administration, their answer to everything is more gun control, right? Punish law-abiding gun owners for criminal behavior, right? That's their MO. That's what they do. So I knew it was something. Unfortunately, you know, many of the families who Andy and I, you know, share this terrible bond with, and we care about them, believe that Kamala Harris was coming there to listen, to learn, to understand what happened, you know, over 6 years ago at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And I'm sure she listened a little bit or whatever, but that's not the purpose of her visit. That's not why she was there. That's not in any, you know, hardly any of the photos that she put out. It was a one big photo op. And as Andrew said, the story of Parkland is the story of government failure. And here's Kamala Harris standing there telling us, you know what? We failed, but we just need a little more government, because this time it's going to be better or something, right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And especially with, you know, Christopher Wray being there the day before, that was concerning, because I didn't understand why he was there. You know, several families filed lawsuits against the FBI, and they settled for over $127 million. And, well, they were very specific in saying that they got two tips and they didn't investigate those tips. And that's deeply concerning. Andrew, when you saw that Christopher Wray was there too, I mean, I know it's federal, obviously, but there's something that has to be done with the FBI when the FBI drops the ball on all of that. So are you surprised to see that he was also there at Parkland as well?
No, not really, because his job's on the line. He knows that with that administration, if they lose his job, he's not going to be working there any longer. And there's plenty of things, you know, there's other shootings that happen all the time, and you're still reading about the FBI dropping the ball. It's a big problem. another big problem in the country is, do you know that over the last 20 years, 50% of mass shooters have been seeing mental health counselors, and only one, on one occasion, was he reported a danger to himself and society. So most of these shootings, 50% of them, could probably be avoided just through better mental health counseling where they're reported, so it could go on their background. The way the system works now is you could get someone that's mentally ill, threatening to kill people, acting erratic. Okay, what happens? They'll get, the police will come, they'll take that individual, they'll bring them to an ER, emergency room, because we have no more mental health facilities. They drop them off at a hospital where they're seen and then released in 72 hours. They don't go through the system where something is put on their background where they can't purchase a firearm. We have gun laws in place to protect society, but we're not using them. You know, if someone could go into, they're threatening to kill their neighbors or kill someone on the street, go to the hospital, don't get anything put on their background, and then they could go out and purchase a rifle in a month. That's really not protecting society. And we would be able to cut down on so many mass shootings if we just fixed that mental health part of the equation where it goes on their background. We'd fix half of the mass shootings in the country.
Yeah. And I want Ryan to talk about that too, because I think that's interesting, right? Because I, as anyone who has ever applied to get a gun, you know that they ask you specifically if you have any history of mental health issues, and whether you answer truthfully or not truthfully is really the moment of whether you get the firearm or not. So when she's talking about universal background checks, it doesn't make any sense. Ryan, you spent more time working on all of this. Where is kind of the gap in all of this where we need to kind of bridge it over? Because she's saying universal background checks are the solution, but do you agree?
A background check's only as good as the information that is in the background check system. And like so many examples that you can point to, a lot of these killers pass a background check, right? Andrew talked about this earlier. 42 visits by the Broward Sheriff's Office to this killer's home, where he had committed multiple felonies, we learned, subsequent to the tragedy, but they never arrested him. There was nothing on his record that would prevent him from passing a background check. So our background check systems are only as good as the information in the background check system. A quick comment on Christopher Wray. Andy's absolutely right. I think the guy knows his job is on the line. Brianna, you and I talked the last time I was on about Christopher Wray's activities in the week preceding the Parkland tragedy. He was in Miami, actually. He was at the Miami field office, and he was leading a diversity, equity, and inclusion event in the Miami field office the week before Parkland. He wasn't doing his job as one of the highest ranking law enforcement officers in the United States. He wasn't focused on taking those tips and making sure that they were followed up on so we could prevent these, Parkland from happening. He was down trying to, make the DEI HR recruiters happy at the FBI before Parkland. So what message does he send to all of those FBI agents in the field about what's important? He sends the message that DEI is important and their job as law enforcement agents is not important. And so it's not surprising to me at all that the FBI failed our families in 2018. And now we've got Kamala Harris down at, Christopher Wray and Kamala Harris, right? Down at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas telling us more government is the solution. Just give us more power, more control, give up your rights, and we'll make you safe. I don't believe it. I feel just as a photo op in this event, and hopefully, hopefully we can all learn from this. The building will be gone soon. At the end of the school year, they're going to tear it down. And I think any opportunities for the vice president and other politicians to come in here and walk on that you know, ground that Andrew and I have talked about this. We consider that sacred ground at this point. This is where our daughters were killed. And to have politicians walking through there and proposing solutions that won't solve the problem, it, you know, it makes me angry.
Yeah, and rightfully
so. Why did she even need the phone? You know, if you're really going there to be meaningful, what do you need the press there? I've been to places where I said, I don't want the press because I don't want a photo op. I'm there to talk to parents that, you know, to help them cope in a shooting. And I could have, you know what I mean? If you really meant it, you didn't need to have a photo op. But, you know, it's an election year, like we said. And that's why she's there. You know, she didn't do anything. She's for 3 years. All of a sudden, she's going to go travel to Parkland and make a big difference. On another note, when Ryan was talking with the failures, not many people know this, but in the school there, the security team at Douglas actually had a name for the shooter, and they called him Crazy Boy. Okay, that was his nickname at the school. And Crazy Boy, if you trespassed at our daughter's school a year prior to the shooting and wasn't arrested. Okay, so that's another failure. Maybe that day, if they arrested him and threw him in jail, maybe he doesn't come back in a year and murder our daughters, you know. So there's so many failures that happen that they'll never address these failures, because these Democrats they only have one thing on the brain, and that's gun control. They're not capable of dissecting a shooting and coming up with real solutions. When you look at gun control, is not a real solution. It's not going to solve anything. But they keep kicking the can down the road. What we accomplished, Ryan, myself, we got a bill passed in Florida. In that bill, we have a deputy at every school per 500 students. We got more mental health counseling for our children and kids in the school. We got money for our schools to harden the schools. Ryan worked on so diligently on this commission, coming up with real solutions that schools are actually using that are practical to better protect our children. He has hard corners now. A lot of you go to schools in the country, they don't even know what a hard corner is. And a hard corner is inside the classroom where the children could hide behind a wall where they can't get shot from the doorway. Okay. A lot of the kids lost their lives in Parkland because they didn't have what the hard corner. And a hard corner doesn't cost any money. You put a piece of tape in a classroom, and you can make our kids safer in schools. And most schools, a lot of them, they're putting furniture in those areas where the kids can't even go and get up along the wall. You know, Ryan's in the commission, in the Marjorie Stoneman Commission, they came up with it. Who was going to be the first there to protect our kids? We got in our bill, there's the Guardian program where we train. You could be a veteran, retired law enforcement. Ryan went through this vigorous program, the Guardian program in Polk County. He went through the program. We allow in that thing, in the commission, it says teachers, they're the first ones. Teachers, if they want to volunteer and go through this program in certain districts in Florida, they're allowed to do it. They're the ones on the front line to save our kids. You think these Democrats would name any of these things that I just came up with that they could read in the commission, and even in President Trump's commission that Ryan and I worked on with the Trump administration to make our children safer? He didn't get any credit for it.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. And I know the Guardian,
but it just drives me nuts with when I see these Democrats going to the school for a photo op, and we came up with so many solutions and to make our children safer, and they push this BS gun control that wouldn't make a difference. No matter where they go, they just kick the can after every shooting. March for Our Lives did it. All those kids, all they did accomplish was register Democrats. That's all they did. They didn't accomplish one thing. When Ryan and I were knocking doors to fix the school district, none of them were there. When we went to Tallahassee to get a bill passed to make our kids safer, to make Broward safer, none of those kids showed up. So that's why I love seeing my friend on the screen here, because me and him went to battles together in Tallahassee. He'll tell you about it. And we accomplished things. This stuff that I see with this Kamala doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah. Well, listen, you never have to apologize.
It hurts the cause. It actually hurts the cause. That's why I get worked up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, Andrew, I 100% agree with you, and you don't have to apologize because listen, that's why I invited you both on the show. I worked in local news here and I've only heard great things about both you and Ryan, the work you were doing in the Guardian program. I've spoken to multiple retired members of law enforcement who have kids going through school and they are volunteering for programs like that because they want to be there to protect their children and they can't. Yep. I mean, if we've learned anything, it's that we've all got to get involved. We've all got to get our foot in the door and having these types of discussions. You also, Andrew, I want to also bring attention to the NRA Community Shield. That's something else that you'd like to speak about. So I'll let you kind of just take the floor and give us some details on what this is.
Well, the NRA had a school shield program that you have up right now. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to expand that program into places of worship because I saw them as easy targets. You know, Ryan and I are both people of faith. Ryan loves going to his church or what do you call it, a church or a temple, Ryan? Temple?
Church.
I don't know.
Church is good. Yep.
Church. Okay. Church. And I go to my temple and we really love our community and being involved with our faith. And it hit a nerve for me, you know, with how unprotected a lot of these temples are with the shootings and churches, arising anti-Semitism, arising Christians getting shot and persecuted throughout the country and the world. So NRA expanded it to Community Shield, where a team of experts from the NRA will come out and do a vulnerability assessment of a church, a school, a temple, all in one, and just to help them better protect themselves in case of a shooting. And we switched gears to Texas recently. We had that shooting in Texas in a church in Houston. So I've been working with people in Texas now to help a church. And Ryan and I just worked on a small project. Ryan's a Sig Sauer dealer, and he helped me make this happen. We just donated some Sig Sauer AR pistols to a temple where they will be armed at a temple. They're going to go to training. They'll have bulletproof backpacks, and they're not playing around anymore. If someone's going to go into that temple, they're not leaving, you know, on their own. So you have to be that way. When it comes to security, you need to be proactive. And that's what Ryan and I like to push, being proactive. You can't be reactive when it comes to security. And you always have to be training for some event that could happen. So that, like we learned in Parkland, they weren't prepared for anything. You know, I'll never forget. There's one quote that this guy, his name was Andrew Medina. He was at the gate when the killer came through the open gate where it should have been closed. And he said, I saw him beelining to the school with a rifle bag in his hand. Okay. Crazy boy. And he didn't want to be the one to call the code red because he didn't want to be the one that called all this police coming to the school. Mm. And that's what happens when you have terrible leadership and you don't train for a situation like that. And he just crapped the bed and didn't call the code red. Ryan's daughter, my daughter, would be alive if he called the code red. But he's only one that didn't. There might have been seven people that did not. I don't know. I'm right around that figure, 5 to 7 people that should have called the code red that day and didn't and could have saved Elena. It could have saved my daughter, Meadow, on that day. And they didn't call it because of lack of training.
That's so heartbreaking, and it's difficult to hear. We need to come up with real solutions. Ryan, I want to ask you before we go, is there anything else you'd like to add? Because I want this to be a solution show. I don't want this to be just, you know, stating the problems that are about.
Well, you know, Andy just hit on something that's really important. People need to understand, you know, for so long, we've made our schools and our
think Ryan froze.
Many states, they've made them gun-free zones. Uh-huh. And that's the wrong approach to take, right? No criminal is going to obey a sign on the door or on a gate that says, this is a gun-free zone. You know, there's never been in the history of criminals, a criminal that said, oh, well, this is a gun-free zone. I can't go in here and, you know, attack this place. So what Andy is saying is churches, synagogues, temples, schools, they all need to be prepared. And you need to be able to meet that violence with violence. And unfortunately, we live in that world. And I know, you know, for a lot of folks, they don't want to believe that we live in that world. But Andy and I can tell you from firsthand experiences, we live in a dangerous world. And we need people to be prepared to protect not only themselves, but those around them and their places of worship and the places where their schools, where their kids go to school. And Andy and I have been working on that for 6 years now. And I'll tell you that it's a huge deterrent when a criminal or a potential attacker knows that that school has armed security there and that attack will be met with deadly force. You know what they do? They pick another target. We learned that in Tennessee with that the Academy school shooter there. She had targeted another school, but because she knew there was armed security there, she decided not to attack that place. And she went, unfortunately, she went to that Christian Academy and attacked those innocent lives there. But armed deterrence works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Andrew, Ryan, thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm sorry, again, you have to go through all of this. It's, I'm sure, heartbreaking when you see people using the tragedy that took place in Parkland to advance a political agenda. But we are so thankful that the both of you are willing to speak out on this issue. So thank you.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
I can't seem to shut up about how amazing the quality of my sleep has gotten since I switched over to MyPillow products. Yes, I know you probably heard of it before, but these new products that just came out, the 2.0 line, are incredible.
MyPillow 2.0!
I'm sleeping on MyPillow Giza bed sheets. I'm also using the new MyPillow. And let me tell you something, guys, I am sleeping like a baby. The bed sheets are incredible. It's literally so soft and yet so thick that you feel like you're sleeping at a five-star resort.
Excuse me, where's the lobby?
Down the hall and to the left.
Thanks.
Now, if you're interested in getting a better night's sleep, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. If you're looking to save up to 66% off, you gotta go now before they sell out, guys.
Today I'm launching the National Resource Center for Red Flag Laws. And this National Resource Center will be a place where we will, through that, provide for training for local leaders on how to use red flag laws and keep communities safe. So these are just but some of the ways that we can learn from what happened here. And of course, as you know, I will continue to advocate for what we must do in terms of universal background checks, an assault weapons ban, what we must continue to do to diagnose and treat trauma in our communities. And there won't be complete agreement on all that must be done to address these kinds of tragedies. But there are some that, frankly, to use colloquialism, are just no-brainers.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris using the Parkland shooting to push forward the DOJ's new plans to go after legal gun owners. Yes, you guys heard her right. So as she just cited there, the Department of Justice announced over the weekends that it was creating this new federal red flag center. They're calling it, it's a very interesting name, Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. It sounds innocent, but it's not, of course. It's the federal government looking to flag legal Americans who own weapons, and they're looking to go after them, and they're looking to target them. They're looking to take away their weapons. And that is what she did. Now, what she failed to mention, of course, is the failures of both local and federal officials that for that shooting. Now, ultimately, guys, we spoke about it just previously with Andrew and Ryan, the Parkland parents who lost both of their daughters that day. But Christopher Ray was also jumping in on this, and he actually showed up to the school as well on Friday, the day before Kamala Harris was there. And all of this is deeply concerning because, as many of you know, the FBI settled massive lawsuit that they were facing with both the Parkland families and students for over $127 million. And during that whole process, the FBI admitted that they did not follow up or forward two critical tips. And joining us to discuss all of this is FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin. Kyle Serafin is also the host of The Kyle Serafin Show, which is available on Rumble. Kyle, thank you for joining us.
Always my pleasure.
So, Kyle, it was disappointing to see over the weekend just both, you know, Kamala Harris and Christopher Ray using these families to push forward red flag laws that, or not even laws, because they're not, it's not even legislation, just a red flag center where they're going to be going after Americans and targeting them. If they were serious about talking about prevention and how they could fix these issues, they'd have to start within the FBI, because I'm sure our audience is familiar. The FBI failed, and they failed miserably when it came to investigating tips. They received two tips, and the FBI admitted to it during several lawsuits that were filed against them. And those tips pretty much stated that the shooter was ready to explode, and he was preparing on slipping into a school and shooting the place up. He was also obtaining several firearms to do so. And the FBI had to admit that they never even investigated those tips. Instead, the FBI was focused on a DEI hiring event that took place just days before the shooting, and Christopher Ray was there. So, Kyle, the only reason why I mention all of this is because obviously you, as a former agent, you're well aware of all of this. Do red flag laws work? And, well, should we all be a little concerned as to what they're doing right now with the Department of Justice as well?
The short answer is yes, we should be concerned. Do red flag laws work? I don't think so, but I do agree with what the vice president said. It's a no-brainer. You have to have no brain if you think that's a good idea. There's nothing in the Article 2 powers of the executive that says they should be creating special centers to teach local governments how to run sort of anti-civil liberties type organizations or offices. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand why anybody would think that's a good idea. And then regarding the FBI's failures, it is a failure, but it's not the failure that a lot of people think about. The FBI failed to pass along tips, but the FBI has no responsibility for local crime. So when we look at something like somebody made a report, it's because people have gone to the FBI thinking the FBI is something it's not. And that also was an FBI failure. The FBI has not messaged properly that we're not going to stop all crime. The FBI's job is to go after interstate crime. And the only thing that would make sense in that little narrow scenario is if that person, the individual who went and shot up at Parkland, was involved in interstate threats. But murdering people within your own community, it's atrocious. It's awful. But it's not a federal crime. That's local law enforcement's job. So I think the FBI may have even given the money in that big settlement there simply because they were trying to advance this agenda of the regime, which is to say more control, more power. They're willing to say, well, look, we have this big problem with shooters. The FBI hates people owning guns. And so we've seen this kind of push that's moving towards an ideological and an ideological end, but it just cost us a lot of money in a taxpayer settlement when I don't honestly think the FBI had any business doing that investigation. And why would it? There's no interstate crime that was involved in that shooting. It's all local crime, as atrocious as it is.
Yeah, and you mentioned the settlement. I mean, they paid out over $127 million in that settlement. It was massive. But you're also mentioning the failures at a local level. I mean, the parents are very outspoken about that, too. The sheriff's office, like you mentioned, didn't do any investigations. And maybe people just felt like they were reaching out to the sheriff's office, they weren't getting any answers, that the next leg up would be the FBI in that case. Because also, the school wasn't really doing anything proper to handle the situation. I mean, they knew that there were these threats that were being made by crews. And instead of keeping their doors locked and taking just the initiative steps to protect those students, they had literally doors unlocked, and these poor children were just left as targets. And it was heartbreaking. And we also have the footage of local police as well, not going into the shooting. I'm going into the school to end the shooter, sadly. So it's just all heartbreaking. You know, we continue to hear this big push for red flag situations, and it's heartbreaking. But, you know, just last week, we also learned that a federal judge that was appointed by Barack Obama says that illegal aliens can obtain firearms and they have a right to a Second Amendment. So do you think we're really making this into a messy situation where they're going to sit there and they're going to implement all these red flag situations? They also have all these illegals there. I mean, I don't see a situation where any agency could actually keep up with this and legitimately stop terrorist attacks from happening and mass shootings from taking place.
I think that Americans are confused about what their law enforcement is supposed to do and what the levels of addressing each problem should look like. We need to handle federal problems at a federal level. We need to handle local problems at a local level. We need to handle state problems at that level as well. So when we start breaking this thing down, do I actually think that people who are in this country have an unlimited right to own arms? I am actually a Second Amendment absolutist. I don't think anybody should be disqualified from owning a firearm. That includes people who have served their time as felons. If either they're free to go or they're not. And if they're free to go, they should have all the rights of Americans. That's just my take on it. It may not be the most popular, but it's kind of libertarian. But that doesn't mean that those people should be here in the first place. They shouldn't even be in the country in order to be able to do that, which means you have to solidify your border. That is the federal government's job. And when it comes to stopping local crime, none of us have a right to have the government come in and protect us at every single moment. Like, freedom is a dangerous thing. And our ancestors knew it in this country, and that's why they enshrined the Second Amendment for self-defense. It's a thing that you do. It's a reason that you can keep and bear arms. And there's a limited ability for the government to watch over all of us. The reason why the school resource officer at Parkland was not held liable for his actions is because Supreme Court decisions have gone back and stated the police and law enforcement in general owe a duty to the public, but not to an individual. They don't owe you personally, Brianna, like the duty of safety. What they owe is that the public is going to be safe. And they can say that means everybody in this house may be attacked. Everybody in this neighborhood may be attacked. They can actually set the parameters as flexible as necessary because you can't individually hold them accountable for individual actions, which is what we saw in that particular lawsuit. So it's unfortunate, but freedom is dangerous, number one. And number two, and probably the most important, Americans used to know that you have to accept responsibility for your own personal safety. There are a lot of things we can do to mitigate threats. But even in the best case scenario where everybody has bulletproof glass up and you have self-locking doors and so on, and you have teachers that are armed, if that teacher chooses not to carry a weapon to school that day and someone props the door open to go out on a cigarette break and someone slips in the back door and goes into a classroom where someone's not armed, those are the human failures. And it's the most awful and horrific thing in the world to imagine. But none of that has to do with an individual liberty in somewhere other, you know, other than that individual place. It doesn't have anything to do with my civil liberties. And It certainly doesn't have anything to do with the inanimate object that is used to hurt or kill other people. So if we had this individual teenager jump into a semi-truck and drive into the classroom and smash a bunch of desks and pin people to the wall and kill them horrifically, we wouldn't be out there screaming about how semi-trucks are the problem. Kamala Harris let it slip at the end of her speech. What they really want is a universal background check, which is a backdoor registry for the government to know about all of the firearms you own. And there's no right to that. They can't do it. It's actually explicitly forbidden by current laws, but they still want it. Mm-hmm. And they want to be able to remove the individual liberty to own, to keep, and to bear arms. Because once you take that away, that's the last domino for Americans. It's almost the last domino for the free world. Without it, this country doesn't look the same way because there is no check on tyranny. And it's the only thing that's keeping people like Chris Wray and their tyrannical grab on power. It's the only thing that really keeps them looking over their shoulder a little bit and thinking, man, we've got millions of veterans that are all combat experienced, and many of them have capable arms. They're not semi-automatic. I mean, they're not select fire, you know, fully automatics, but they can do all the things they need to do with those weapon systems. And they're comparable to what most police carry. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, when we talk about the Second Amendment being attacked, obviously, through this regime, we're talking often about ATF and the FBI. A lot of Americans are concerned. What do you recommend our audience do? Let's say the ATF is banging on their front door, wants to talk to them about something, doesn't have a warrant. How should Americans respond?
Well, I had this very exact situation happen to me while I was working for the FBI. I had the ATF come and bang on my door. And the answer is you don't have to answer any questions. We all want to. We all want to solve this problem. Some other human being has come there and they're looking for something. And we're very accustomed to say, hey, let me just straighten this out. This must be a misunderstanding. They're not coming there in good faith if they're banging on your door and you've committed no crime. And even if you have committed a crime, it's not going to value, you know, your experience by trying to explain it to them. Let a lawyer do that. So create time and distance. It's the same thing you would do if you were being attacked physically. You need to create time and distance. And that is, if you have a warrant, they're going to knock down the door. They're going to come in. You make a decision right there. If they claim to have a warrant, they probably do. So you let them in. But if not, hey, I'd like to contact my attorney. I will go and get an attorney specifically for this instance and go get one and let me know, you know, who you want me to funnel questions to. You can leave a business card under the door, but I'm not taking any questions from federal law enforcement right now, regardless of what their complaint, you know, oh, we're just trying to straighten this out. Oh, you're not in trouble. I don't believe you. There's no reason to believe you. You know, we had a guy that was just shot in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he was just shot because he bought a bunch of guns and then he sold some of them, which is his right in most states. And then they decided that he was doing it for profit, that he was an unlicensed gun dealer, and they kicked down his door at 6 a.m. Female agent wrote the warrant. They served it. They shot him in the head and they killed him. So when you're talking about an agency that's going to run down on the assumption that you are guilty and execute you, and the ATF is guilty of this for a long time, the ATF regularly overreaches their boundaries. This is something like I have two friends in a chat group on Signal, the way that you and I communicate. And my two friends, one of them is a former, he's a retired ATF agent. The other one is a senior FBI supervisor. And the group is called the Gay Chicken Referees because I can't decide which one is doing the stupidest thing. And so we're constantly having the FBI and the ATF pushing back and forth to get sort of the title of crappiest federal agency in America. And they're both doing it. They're infringing on our civil liberties. They're coming at us full speed. And the ATF right now seems like they're winning, but the FBI is in hot pursuit with Chris Wray down there at Parkland.
Yeah. Yeah. It's upsetting, Kyle, but I'm glad, you know, you join us on our show to give us this insight because these are angles that I normally wouldn't think of as just a normal civilian. And so it's interesting to hear your take on it as always. And that's also why I tune into your show. It's on Rumble, folks. You got to give it a follow. It's the Kyle Serafin Show. It's one of the best shows because, again, things that I normally wouldn't think of, and I know our audience won't think of, you really challenge us. And so we're thankful for that. So again, guys, every morning, Monday through Friday, head over and take a look at what he's got going on. It's the Kyle Serafin Show on Rumble. Kyle, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate it. If you enjoyed that segment, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, give us a thumbs up. It helps, of course, with the algorithm. And if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, you could give every single episode a 5-star review. And on all of those platforms, you could also leave us a comment. We greatly appreciate your feedback, of course. And well, if you're looking to support our show, we always appreciate that. Head over right now to supportbree.com. That's supportbree.com. And you can make a one-time donation, or if you'd like, you can make a monthly donation and you could pick any dollar amount you'd like. Again, folks, that's supportbree.com. And well, because of people like you, we're able to have this independent platform and we're not taking money from Big Pharma or anyone else. So please, again, folks, supportbree.com. We'll be right back. Well, it's official, folks. The FDA lied, and we know they lied, and all of these government agencies were complicit in pushing the lie, and they blocked you from getting life-saving medications. Now, I'm not overstating this, folks. We know all of this because of a lawsuit that's been playing out in court. As of last week, the courts actually ruled that the FDA has to remove posts like this. You probably remember this, right? Remember when the FDA was actually lying to the American people about ivermectin and they put this on their Twitter page, their official Twitter page? You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. Well, obviously, they were lying to you, folks. Ivermectin has been used on human beings for decades. We know this because, well, somebody actually won a Nobel Peace Prize over it. So the FDA knowingly posted this as a lie and was forced by a court to delete it. So while the FDA was lying, sadly, Americans were dying. And anyone who's been paying attention to what's been going on around the country for the last couple of years knows it's likely they're going to try this again. They're going to try to block you from getting your hands on life-saving medications. So you have to be prepared, folks. And the best way to do so is with this prescription kit. It contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, plus a guide that tells you how to use everything. And, well, you won't find anything like this in the stores or at pharmacies. Every American should have at least one of these kits right now in their homes. And ordering your kit is simple, and it only takes 2 minutes to do. So you head over to twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna. And when you use promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, they're going to give you $30 off plus free shipping. That's the exclusive you guys get for just listening to today's show. So again, that's with the code Brianna. And folks, I got to tell you, this kit alone is going to cost you less than a single doctor's visit. So again, guys, we're in an election year, so you have to be prepared. So head over to twc.health/Brianna and use promo code Brianna to secure up to $30 off plus free shipping. Again, folks, twc.health/Brianna, and you got to use promo code Brianna when you get there. You guys have to do this now. Do not wait because, well, we never know when they're planning their next pandemic. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.